Yo, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Isaiah K Podcast. Welcome back. So, this is after the Thursday night football game between the Ravens and Bengals. Been going heavy with the content this week. So, first and foremost, I'm going to say this. I recorded two episodes so far this week. I did my usual NFL weekly breakdown of week 10. You guys can go check that out. That also includes, you know, my top 10 list that we do on a weekly basis. But then also, I did like a mini episode, I would say, a little portion of, you know, breaking down Jimbo Fisher, getting fired, the money aspect. Didn't stay too long on that money aspect. But then also talking about Texas A&M and it, you know, it being an elite job. So you guys can go check that out. But if you are listening to this episode, maybe listen to this episode and maybe go back and check those other ones out some other time. But first and foremost, I'm your humble and highly favorite host, Isaiah K of the Isaiah K Podcast. Shouts out to everyone that may be listening that's under the sound of my voice. Shouts out to everybody. Shouts out to the first time listener. Big ups to first-time listeners. Big ups to the first-time listeners. Big ups to the regular listeners. Shouts out to any DSP that you may be streaming this podcast or playing this podcast from. Greatly, greatly appreciated. Any form, streaming platform, doesn't matter. You're streaming it. Thank you. Greatly appreciate it. And let's get into it. Let's get into business, right? So, and I don't know. It's kind of weird. This episode may have like a lot of, I think I'm going to be talking about all of the AFC North teams. So if you're like an AFC North, like I'm going to probably cover all these teams. But obviously Ravens, Bengals, they played and Ravens dominated. Now it didn't come without a cost. They lost one of their more productive players offensively in Mark Andrews. He's out for the rest of the season with an ankle injury from the hip tackle that, you know, everybody talks about and, you know, complains about the hip tackle. So he got hurt on that play, the first drive of the game. Mark Andrews, obviously devastating news. He's out for the year. But then if you're a Bengals fan, you got even more devastating news. Joe Burrow might be done for the season. Joe Burrow, it was apparent that he had a device or some type of like brace on his hand coming into the game. And it wasn't in the Bengals injury report. Now, I would imagine the NFL is going to probably take a look at that because that seems a little shady. Granted, we know about the groin injury. We know he's been like, he had like a little finger injury that was minor, I would say, but this whole hand, and it turns out Zach Taylor at the end of the game said, you know, quote unquote, it's a sprained wrist. I don't even know if I'm buying that. Like, I don't know, but kind of shady that Cincinnati didn't have that in the injury report. And then, you know, we're more than halfway into the second half. I mean, into the second quarter, excuse me. And Joe Burrow, we get sideline footage. He can't even grip the ball. And it really started after that Joe Mixon touchdown where he threw the ball to the flat. Joe Mixon, scores. But then the camera kind of shows Joe Burrow like grimacing and like swiping his hand. It's like something is hurting. So that's kind of shady. They're going to dig into that. And I'll just say it like this. If Joe Burrow is done, this Bengals season is over. Over. So, a highly, highly anticipated game because there was a lot at stake. If the Ravens win, obviously they continue on their quest to get one of those top two seeds in the AFC. But if Cincinnati would have won this game, there would have been a lot of mix-up and probably some turnover within the AFC playoff picture, but it looks a lot different now. And let's start with the health of Joe Burrow and Cincinnati, like just the whole outlook, right? because this is obvious. This is huge, obviously. And early on this year, it was weird. It was kind of like, it was really hard and weird to watch Joe Burrow and this team because we know he's better than that. Like, first like month of the season, like, Cincinnati was damn near unwatchable. Like they were just damn near unwatchable. Joe Burrow was clearly not himself and hampered. But then on this recent stretch they've gone on, before tonight, came into the game, last five games, they were 4-1. Joe Burrow's been, through 12 touchdowns. And then more in particular, when you see outings or the performances like he had against the 49ers and the Bills, you can easily see that version of Joey B is the second best quarterback in football. Like, when he plays like that, the offense looks like a Super Bowl caliber offense. The team look like a contender, and they are really good. That is the bit that, like, those performances, those standout performances versus the Niners and the Bills, kind of like highlight, like, okay, this Cincinnati team, when they're playing and they're clicking like this, they damn near could beat anyone any given Sunday. Like, you know, it's, and especially when Joe Burrow looks sharp, when he's on point, like, that Niners game, that was as good as a game that you would see from the quarterback position all year long. I mean, that was, you can tell that version of Joey B, that version of Joe Burrow is undoubtedly the second best quarterback in football. Like, that version. Now, it's going to be difficult now. Just like with Buffalo, I talked about earlier this week on the episode I recorded, go check that out. But just like I talked about earlier with Buffalo this week, it is an uphill battle, especially in this gauntlet of the AFC. At 5-5, especially in a division like the AFC North and the way how it's panning out, it is going to be an uphill battle for Cincinnati to kind of get back into the thick of things in terms of the playoff race. So that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. Now, here's my total outlook. Because it looks like I said, that injury that Joe Burrow has, he can't even grip the football. I don't know. If I had to take a gut, my gut is telling me he's going to be out for multiple weeks. And if Joe Burrow is out, as you kind of saw in the second half of that game or in the second quarter and on, the life was just sucked out of Cincinnati. It was just sucked out of Cincinnati. And they had no juice, and they looked like they wanted no parts of the Baltimore Ravens without Joe Burrow, which is okay. That kind of shows his value, his importance to that team. But they didn't want no business playing that football game after the Joe Burrow injury. So, needless to say, if they are without Joe Burrow for a couple of weeks, it's over. Their season's done. Their season's over, right? Like, there's no need. Like, their season is done. You might as well rest them up, let them get fully healthy. But here's my, I would say, because I like to be glass half full kind of guy. And if I'm a Bengals fan, if I want to be optimistic, here's the thing. With the exception of a couple weeks of the season that I already talked about, like, with the exception of the 49er game and the Bills game, Cincinnati hasn't looked good. Like, they just, you know, and sometimes maybe it's just not your year. Maybe this is the year that, you know, your season's just weird. They got off to a really, really slow start. And granted, I know in previous years they got off to slow starts, but this one kind of felt different because Joe wasn't healthy, and it just, I don't know. It's just been weird for Cincinnati. Their division is loaded, and we knew their division was going to be really competitive because the North is usually competitive. But this year, like, literally every team is a playoff caliber kind of team, right? So they really couldn't have, like, if it was any year where they couldn't have afforded to be like that slow start and start 0-3, it was this year. So maybe it's just not your year. And maybe, hey, if Joe, who knows, if Joe Burrow stays healthy, maybe you win. Maybe you win versus Baltimore. Maybe you don't. Maybe you go on and you continue on and get to the playoffs. But who knows? Maybe you get bounced in the first round. Maybe this is the year. You just don't look as polished. And instead of trying to make some late season push, why not just go 6-11, 7-10, and get a top 9-12 pick and just restock? Because think about it. With the caliber of quarterback that you have, it is very, very unlikely that, unless this is a really, really career-altering injury, let's just say Joe Burrow will be ready for the start of next season, right? And he's out for the rest of the season. Let's just say he'll be ready for the start of next season. With a healthy Joe Burrow, you're never going to be in this predicament again where you're going to have a top 10 pick or a top 12 pick. You're never going to be in that predicament. So kind of use this as like a gap year where, you know, you win 6 games, you go 6-11, you get a top 12, get a top 10, top 12 pick. This draft is really loaded. You know, you get a top 10, top 12 pick in every round of this year's draft. You reload, you restock, you get some cheaper contracts on the books with some productive players and go from there. Because, I mean, granted, like, think about it. You kind of do, like, and granted, Cincinnati, they haven't won a Super Bowl, but it's in the same sense. Like, remember when the Warriors, they lost to the Raptors in the finals and Kevin Durant's last year? And Kevin Durant, he got hurt. He tore his Achilles. He eventually left that next offseason, went to Brooklyn. Klay got hurt in that series, right? And then the following year, going into the regular season, Steph Curry got hurt. He hurt his hand. He was out for the majority of the year. Draymond Green, he missed a lot of time. And the Warriors just stunk. And they were like, they had like a lottery pick. They won like 15 games. That is Cincinnati's version of this. Take this year, get a good pick, get quality picks in each round, draft accordingly, and just like, this is your time to reload and restock. Because some of the guys that this squad that they have had over the past few years, really good, inexpensive, but now like the T. Higgins contract, I think there's so much at play, and there's going to probably be some more removing parts or like revolving parts. Take the time to get a little bit younger, a little bit more inexpensive, you know, some guys become a little bit more replaceable. Take this time. And because that's what the Warriors did. I mean, the Warriors, they you know, like I said, that whole KD run, it was great. But then KD left and Klay got hurt and Steph got hurt the following season. Then they were not good, right? So they took the time to develop younger players, get a little bit more inexpensive, you know, trade a guy like D'Angelo Russell to get an asset like Andrew Wiggins. Granted, the lottery picks, the dudes that they have chosen in the lottery, they haven't quite panned out. James Wiseman, he's not even a Warrior anymore. And then with, you know, Jonathan Kuminga, he's still a work in progress. But you get the gist. That, like, their whole plan was to reload, get a healthy Steph, get a healthy Klay, get a healthy Draymond, and then put it all together and make another run. And eventually, obviously, they won a championship. Not this past year, but the year before last, they won a championship. So you get the gist. That's what Cincinnati need to do here. That's what they need to do here. I mean, reload. It's okay. You know, they've been really good. Obviously, we know. When they have a healthy Joe Burrow, we know that they're one of the better teams in their conference, but this has been a really, really janky, shaky year. You know, they haven't been polished. So, you know, go 6-11, 7-10, get a top 12, get a top 10, top 12 pick, and just go from there. Because I think that's their best case scenario. Because trying to get rush Joe Burrow back and make a late playoff push, your schedule towards the back end isn't that friendly. I don't even know, have they won a division game? They haven't won a division game. They're 1-5 in the conference. So it's just a lot. It's just a lot. From the Ravens perspective, like I said, my biggest knock or my biggest fear or concern with this Ravens team coming into this season wasn't that I didn't think they were good. I thought the Ravens had a quality roster. I didn't think their roster really lacked much, didn't have that many holes. So my prediction on the Ravens was based on, I didn't know if their guys can stay healthy. And when I say their guys, I mean like the dudes that they rely on, like their premier guys. And I mean, granted, to a degree, I've been kind of proven right. Now they're at 8 wins, and it looks like with their schedule, they got this mini bye week. So, you know, they're gonna go to the Chargers. They're gonna play the Chargers. That's obviously a winnable game. They'll probably be favorite. Then they play the Rams. They'll be favorite. Then they play the Jags. They'll probably be favorite. So next three games are very much winnable for Baltimore, especially the way they've been playing over this last like month and a half. Like they've been playing some really good football. Now I do think that Browns loss will come back to hunt them. Potentially if they don't get the one seed, because it looks like what we have is, in my opinion, just looking at all of the injuries and then also some improvement from the Ravens offense, I take into account that the Ravens offense and their passing game, it just looks much more cohesive, more in rhythm. It looks good. It looks playoff caliber, right? Granted, and Mark Andrews is a huge loss, and he's been one of their more productive. He's been like, he's Lamar Jackson's safety blanket. So that is going to be a huge loss because he's really productive. But, you know, I like Zay Flowers. I like Rashad Bateman. I mean, OBJ starting to kind of pick it up a little bit more. I like some of these pieces. Now, Nelson Aguilar has flashes. I like some of these pieces. And then obviously they have a run game. This looks like we're on a collision course for a Ravens-Chiefs AFC Championship game. It just feels that way. With all of the injuries to certain quarterbacks, like Joe Burrow and Deshaun Watson, I think Cleveland defense is formidable. And the way how Deshaun was playing, like the last half that we saw Deshaun Watson was probably his best half in the last 3 years that we've been watching him play football. So, like, Browns had like a little trajectory going, but Herbert's going to probably miss the playoffs. The Jaguars, I think we can all admit they're probably like a year away from being a year away. Who else is out there? Like the Jets, they don't have a quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. Pittsburgh, I mean, their record, they're gonna probably be 7-3 after this week. But just the eye test, your eye test, they don't really pass the eye test offensively, and they just don't look to par. They don't look like a conference championship caliber offense. Defense, yes, but they don't look like offensively, they don't look like a conference championship type of team offensively. So just from my perspective, through 11 weeks, and we have a lot of football left, but this just through 11 weeks, it looks like we are on a collision course for a Ravens-Chiefs AFC Championship game. The Ravens also, so I mentioned the Chargers-Rams-Jags game. After that, though, they have to play Niners-Dolphins-Steelers. So those last three, those are some games that they can possibly lose. I can see that. But these next three games, if I'm a betting man, I probably bet that they win these next three games. and they find themselves at the end of it 11-3, and they're going to probably end up as a 12-13 win team. I say 13-4. So I think they win five of their last six, four of their last six, however many. So Baltimore, I think they're heading in the right direction. Their guys just got to stay healthy. I mean, that was my concern. Health and nutrition. They, you know, Baltimore scares me in terms of their guys just not being healthy in the right times. And they came into the game with some massive injuries, like Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey. Now there's no Mark Andrews for the rest of the year. It's gonna be tough. It's definitely an uphill battle, but I do think they're a little bit tested. I do think they're a little bit. They look a little bit more crisp offensively, where I think they can kind of weather the storm to get to the playoffs and, you know, go from there. Get into the playoffs. That's all that matters. So that's my recap of Thursday Night Football. Thursday Night Football, a lot of injury talk. There's not much to really break down because, like I said, once Joe Burrow left that game, Baltimore was never going to lose, and Cincinnati had just lost, like, all of its air. So not much to really break down from the game perspective, just looking ahead, like, you know, projecting with Baltimore and kind of projecting with Cincinnati. I think that's their best bet, though. I'll talk about Cleveland and Deshaun Watson and some of the breaking news after this quick break. Okay, so I kind of spoke on it a little bit as I was talking about Bengals, Ravens with the whole injuries, the quarterbacks and so forth. But Deshaun Watson's out for the rest of the season. He's getting shoulder surgery. And it's kind of, I don't want to say like I feel bad or whatever, but in a sense, I hope he's okay. But in a sense, I do, like, I feel for Browns fans because he was coming off of his best half by far since he's been a member of the Cleveland Browns. You know, granted, he's had a 5-1 record this year, but from eye tests, like, I thought these past couple of weeks, his football, his play has gotten better. And then the second half of that Baltimore game, he goes 14-for-14, made some plays with his legs. Like, those were, like, critical first downs that he picked up. I thought he played really well. And I thought, okay, if the Browns, that's why I put them in my top 10 list. If the Browns get this type of quarterback play, and they don't need Deshaun Watson to be Deshaun Watson from Clemson or Patrick. Like, they don't need him to be like this top five bona fide top 10 quarterback. They don't. They just need solid quarterback play, make a play when it needs to be made. And it seemed like that was the trajectory he was heading towards, right? And so it's obviously devastating. And he demanded a trade from Houston. You know, the whole massage and masseuse allegations. No matter what side of the fence you stand on and how you look at that whole situation, that is going to be with him, and that's going to be a part of his brand and reputation. Like, and that type of situation, those type of situations just don't slip under the cracks and just go away as the whole situation is, just because the situation is not on the forefront. That's what many people forget. Like, that situation is going to haunt him, right? And like I said, over the past 2 weeks, his play has gotten better. Now you got to start thinking about it, because he's going to be out for the remainder of the season. Big picture wise, just looking at the grand scheme of things with Cleveland and the whole Deshaun Watson situation and ordeal, he's played essentially 12 football games in a three-year span. So, granted, I know everybody, like, if you were like, hey, let's give Deshaun Watson a little bit more time before we say he's not, okay, That was the ordeal last year where he didn't play for about 2.5 years. So we like got to shake off the rust. This year, 6-7 games into the season, it takes him some time to get some rhythm going and so forth. Wasn't pretty the first month and a half, but over the past 2 weeks, his play has gotten better. Now he's gonna miss more time. He's gonna miss more time, and the whole rust is gonna be a whole nother issue again. So I mean, like I said, I feel for Browns fans because you look at this team. The kind of play that they got from Deshaun Watson in the second half of that Ravens game, if they could have continued to get that type of play from Watson, this Browns team is really, really dangerous. And they can give anyone, and I mean anyone in the AFC, a run for their money. Like they can, like this Browns team, they can win a playoff game. I thought that was very much in their capabilities of winning a playoff game and really taking some of these other AFC teams to the limit in the playoffs. I thought that was their ceiling. I thought they had a championship caliber defense. Obviously, that travels. And if they can get that type of play from Deshaun Watson, who knows? Who knows? You make a run, who knows? But now, his availability, and that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing about being a, like, what they're paying you for. Obviously, you got to be a high-level player. But in part of being a high-level player comes with actually being available so you can perform like a high-level player. You get me? So, like, Patrick Mahomes, if he missed a number of games, granted, when he plays, he looks awesome, and he's the best quarterback we've ever seen, right? But if he missed a number of games, we would not talk about him in the same regard because his availability would be at play or at issue. That's Anthony Davis' whole thing. Like, that's some of his ordeal. Really, when he's on the floor at times, even when he's playing, he sometimes kind of like just looks out of it. But when Anthony Davis is healthy and when he's like locked in, he is a top 7 player, arguably, in basketball. Like, that's Anthony Davis' whole ordeal. That's why we don't talk about him in certain aspects, because his availability is a question mark. So that's the whole point of when we're talking about these great, like, that's the whole point. Being available. And with Joe Burrow, you know, okay, ACL injury, cool. But Joe, and some of this is Joe Burrow's playing style. He holds on to the ball, and he's a tough guy. He's a tough kid. So he takes all of these hits, and it just amounts to these injuries. But every time I turn on Kansas City, guess who's playing? Patrick Mahomes. Every time, more times than not, when I turn on the Cowboys, guess who's playing? Dak Prescott. When I turn on the Eagles, guess who's playing? Jalen Hurts. When I turn on the Bills, no matter how good, how ugly it gets, guess who's playing? Josh Allen. So I mean, like, he, and granted, his time in Houston, he wasn't looked upon as a player that had, like, red flags in terms of like his health. Granted, he's torn down both ACLs in his knee. One happened in college. One happened, I think, his rookie year or halfway through his rookie year. But now he's gonna have major shoulder surgery. That's gonna he's a red flag and his health. And his availability is now a question mark. And we got to put Deshaun Watson not only with, you know, his play and performance on the field, but then it's like, okay, is he even available Like, is he going to be available this week? Because the injuries with Deshaun this year was kind of weird. Like, okay, had an ankle injury. Then the whole concussion, he was cleared. That was weird. And now the shoulder, he's been playing with this bad shoulder for a couple of weeks. I don't know. But the bad thing for Cleveland is they're financially in bed with this guy. And there's no loopholes around it. There's no loopholes around it. So coming into 2024, he's going to remain as one of the biggest question marks going into the year. Because now availability and health and nutrition is a big question mark. Now, if you guys remember, several weeks ago, I kind of pointed out the financial details of his contract. And basically, this was the year for the Browns to make a run. Like, this was the year. Like, you look at the Browns team, you're like, damn, they're so loaded. They got they got two good DBs. They got pass rushers. Amari Cooper is excellent. Like, they got so much talent on both sides of the ball. Well, you know why they got so much talent on both sides of the ball? Because Deshaun Watson's cap hit is only $19 million this year. And the reason why is, like, and this is part of the Browns doing, but first 2 years of his contract, it's been some funny money. Last year, he was basically making $1 million or like something like that. He's making like $1 million last year because they knew he was going to get suspended. So they did some funny money with the books. They manipulated the cap and pushed the big money and the big salary down the road for 2024, 2025, 2026. So this year, he has a $19 million cap hit. Still, that's still really reasonable, and that still gave Cleveland a lot of room and flexibility for money to be spent, which they did. It's been spent accordingly because their roster is really good. But then going into next year, in 2024, his cap hit goes from $19 million to $64 million. Now, if my math is correct, that is a $43 million jump. And granted, the cap will go up, but it won't go up substantially where it'll balance out that cap hit. No, that cap hit is going to be devastating, and it's going to be really, really difficult for Cleveland to maintain the quality of players and talent and depth that they have. So you know what's going to need to happen? The Browns, with that cap hit and the money that he's making, they're going to need him to be excellent in order to maintain the quality of team that they have currently. Because, sorry to break it to Browns fans, DTR and PJ Walker, best of luck to those guys, but those guys are not going to carry you to a play. Like, no, it's not happening. It's not happening. So that's the whole dilemma with this whole Deshaun Watson contract. It's because Cleveland, they did some funny money with the books his first couple years. So the price of charge wasn't that expensive for Deshaun Watson. And that $230 million contract, they really haven't paid none of that off. They haven't paid none of that off. The real big numbers in the lump sum of that salary, it really starts next year where they got to pay $64 million for the next 3 years. If I'm not mistaken, what's 64 times 3? 64 times 3, that is 192. That's 192. So you take an account, they got to essentially pay Deshaun Watson $192 of his $232 million guaranteed deal for the next 3 years. Whereas those first 2 years, they only paid $20 million. They really haven't done no damage to that contract. The damage begins next year and the following years. So that's just basically what it comes down to. And this is how it goes. This is how it goes. When the quarterbacks, these big contracts, this is how it goes. Like Kansas City, do you guys really think Kansas City wanted to give up Tyreek Hill? No. They didn't want to give up Tyreek Hill, but they offered Tyreek Hill a deal. He said, nah, I want a little bit more. They said, can't really do that because we're paying Patrick Mahomes. And they had to trade Tyreek Hill away. Now, in aspect, in the big picture thing of it, like Kansas City, granted, they knew Tyreek Hill can play. This is not a surprise to them, right? But they're like, we got Mahomes, so we're fine. We're fine. But they didn't want to give away Tyreek Hill. They wanted to keep Tyreek Hill. They didn't want to trade him away, but they had to because they couldn't afford him because they're paying Mahomes. And in hindsight, it's okay. Big picture scheme, it's okay because Mahomes is that good. But in an ideal world, they didn't want to give away Tyreek Hill. And with Cleveland, they're going to be in a predicament where they're not going to give away Myles Garrett or anything. But, you know, maybe you won't have two good DBs. Maybe you won't have three, four good, really good pass rushers. Maybe you won't have – is Amari Cooper still on the team next year? I don't know. Who knows? So the big thing for Cleveland is, can they win four of their next eight games? Can they go 500? Can Cleveland go 500? And this is why I had some hope for Cleveland, because I looked at their schedule and looking at, you got a big time win versus Baltimore on the road. You play Pittsburgh this week. If Deshaun Watson was healthy, I'd probably go with Cleveland. You got Denver, you got the Rams, you got the Jags, you got Bears, Texans, Jets. So, and then Cincinnati to end the season. So, I mean, you ask yourself with Deshaun Watson, is this an 11-win team? Like, can this team win 11 games? I thought 11 wins was very much in play. But now, I don't know. Can you win four of your next eight games? Because essentially, you're 6-3 right now. Can you finish 10-6 or 10-7? Excuse me. Can you finish 10-7? If you can finish 10-7, maybe you got a shot. Maybe you still got a shot at the playoffs, but you probably won't win a playoff game. And then the grand scheme of things, the funny thing about this trade with Deshaun Watson is that you look at the money and the assets. Houston, that's the thing. Teams usually don't just trade really good quarterbacks. There's usually a reason for it. Usually the quarterback either wants out, like Deshaun Watson did. And I kind of think, with everything going on in Houston, I think Houston was ready to move on, right? But teams usually don't trade good quarterbacks or like quarterbacks that they like want. Teams are either trading them because financially it makes sense and they're ready to move on and they kind of know something that probably other teams don't, or the quarterback wants out, or like it's a mutual decision. Like the Raiders, they thought it was time to go and move off of their car. Lions, Matthew Stafford, they came to a mutual agreement. It's time to blow it up. They blessed Matthew Stafford, put him in a winning position and so forth. But when teams trade, like Seattle, and probably you guys are probably like, Russell Wilson. Well, yeah, Russell Wilson was still balling, but they kind of saw decline and they traded him. And in retrospect, it was the right decision. And with Houston, they traded Deshaun Watson. So far, they obviously, with them sucking and trading Deshaun Watson, they got bad. They got bad, really quack, really fast. So with that, they were able to get C.J. Stroud. Safe to say, they kind of struck on gold with that one. But then they were also able to acquire pieces like Will Anderson, Keon Green, Tank Dell. And then also, not to mention, they also have another first round pick coming up in the 2024 draft, and a fourth round pick in this upcoming draft. And this up, so they have two more additional picks coming up in this up in this upcoming year's draft. So the Watson trade is it's looking like one of the worst trades in sports history. Not just league history, but in sports history. Because Cleveland, he's played, what, 12 games in 3 years? And you guys have yet to see any real, like, benefits from it. And you still got to pay him? I don't know. I don't know. It that's a tough, sticky situation for Cleveland. It's a tough, sticky situation. I wanted to talk about Chip Kelly. I mean, he's likely to be fired. And here's my thing with Chip Kelly. I'm going to talk about Chip Kelly really quickly, and then I'm going to end this pod. My thing with Chip Kelly is this. I'm not mad with UCLA saying, hey, we got to move on Chip Kelly. We got to move on from Chip Kelly. Now, UCLA, they're not bad this year, but they do have two bad losses. Oh, well, no, I wouldn't say two bad losses, because they're 6-4 this year. They went 9-4 last year and 8-4 the previous year. Now, I think a lot of this move to do with this move with, you know, Chip Kelly being fired, you're going to the Big Ten. And do I think he's the right, appropriate coach to go to the Big Ten with? No, I don't. So I can attest, I can see that aspect and that side to it where you're no longer in the Pac-12 and you're going to be playing some big dogs, so you want to move off Chip Kelly. But granted, and he has two bad losses, I would say. One is against ASU, Arizona State. They're not good. You can't lose that game. But a lot of people are bashing him for the Arizona loss. I'm like, first of all, Arizona's pretty good this year. And Arizona's better than UCLA this year. So I'm not mad with that. Also, he has a freshman quarterback. But then I'm looking at the rest of UCLA's schedule. They can literally probably go 8-4 again. And I know, I think a lot of this rim in college football, a lot of these programs have like some unrealistic expectations. Like, you're UCLA. And I'm looking at his losses. He has one bad loss. It's the Arizona State loss. But Arizona is pretty decent this year. Arizona is not a bad football team. They're a quality opponent. They lost to Oregon State. That's a top 15 program this year. They're really good. Sorry. They're good. And then he lost to Utah. At Utah. I mean, Utah is one of the more consistent programs in the country through and through. You know what you're getting every week. So I'm looking at the rest of their schedule. UCLA can still possibly go 9-4. They got USC, and then they got Cal. I mean, that USC game, I mean, that's winnable. USC, they're not like world beaters this year. And then Cal, they can beat Cal and then the bowl game. So I'm not like, they're 6-4, but who says they can't go finish 8-5, 9-4? But I get it. You want to move on. You're going into the Big Ten, better conference, better opponents, better coaches. You want to move off of Chip Kelly. And essentially, Chip Kelly has been 500. He's been mediocre at UCLA. So I get why they want to move on. I just think on the high end side of things, high end, they can probably finish 9-4 this year, which is possible. So we'll see. But without further ado, hope you guys enjoy. Always remember, two choices, one decision. I'm out. Peace. Deuces. I catch you guys next week. Enjoy.